Ann Burke becomes the Illinois Supreme Court's Chief Justice later this month. She'd long been part of Chicago's most influential power couple, along with her husband, Alderman Ed Burke. The alderman now faces federal corruption charges. But Justice Burke's tenure on the state's high court generally has been free of controversy. Now, an investigation by Chicago public radio station WBEZ finds several cases Ann Burke heard on the Supreme Court, even though they involved clients of her husband's law firm. And as Dave McKinney reports, that's raising questions about Illinois' judicial ethics system.
Ann Burke joined the Supreme Court in 2006 with a promise to be one of its most transparent members. Here she is on the day she was appointed.
I'm constantly on the lookout for any possible, what appears to be, which I might not even think, is an appearance of impropriety or conflict. I go the opposite way.
Since then, justices have handed down more than 900 opinions, and I've read them all. And one of them led me to a neatly kept ranch house in northwest suburban Des Plaines.
Hi, I'm Dave McKinney. I'm with WBEZ.
Yeah, Dave, how are you? Gene Zelinda.
Gene, it's a pleasure.
I met a family caught up in a legal matter that Justice Burke ruled on. While the company involved was one of the biggest clients of her husband's longtime former property tax appeal firm. What you're hearing is the sound of 42-year-old Jason Sloan breathing through his ventilator. Jason lives with his parents. He has a rare condition that leaves him without the impulse to breathe. He also has developmental disabilities. His entire life, he's been attached to the ventilator 24 hours a day.
You can say hi. You can say anything.
You have to talk louder.
You have to talk louder. You want to talk in the microphone?
Hi, Dave.
That's Jason and his mom, Deborah Sloan. Jason likes the action movie Top Gun. He watches it every day. And he proudly displays a plastic tub of superhero figures. Batman is his favorite. In 2007, storms knocked out power to the family's house for days. Jason's mom and dad had to move him out of the house so he wouldn't suffocate.
When that power goes out, there's a hole in his throat with the tube. Everything shuts down. So hold your breath. Tell me how long you think you can hold your breath. That's what he has to experience.
The family is on a life support registry that lets the electric company, Commonwealth Edison, know that Jason is highly vulnerable to power interruptions. Despite his condition, the family says ComEd was dismissive when bad weather knocked out their power in 2007 and didn't prioritize them when it was being restored. So they joined a class action lawsuit against the utility, and it went all the way to the Illinois Supreme Court. Ultimately, Ann Burke and the court's six other justices sided with ComEd. The thing is, when she participated in that case, ComEd was a client of her husband's boutique law firm. It's one of at least 10 examples WBEZ found in which Justice Burke was sitting in judgment on a case involving her husband's clients, as those same clients were paying Alderman Burke's firm for unrelated legal matters. Three involved ComEd, but they also included banks, a shopping mall, a big Chicago landlord, and a prominent downtown hospital. That connection was news to Deborah Sloan and her husband, Eugene Zelinsky.
Do both of you believe she should have recused herself in this case?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Tell me why.
Because her husband's law firm was representing ComEd. Maybe it wasn't on this particular case, but that has no bearing. Your client is your client. ComEd is still his client. So she's married to him.
A Supreme Court spokesman says Justice Burke was unaware ComEd was a client of her husband's firm when she heard that case, and she doesn't even know who the firm's clients are. Burke herself declined WBEZ's interview requests to explain her participation in cases like this. But public records show that Alderman Burke's law firm, which specializes in local property tax appeals, helped ComEd save big money. More than $4 million in property tax bills that were cut over the last decade. A ComEd spokeswoman says that that's why they hired Alderman Burke's firm, to save customers money, not to curry favor with his wife in an unrelated case. Last year alone, ComEd paid the firm more than $100,000. It won't say how much it paid in previous years. Now, to be clear, there's no evidence Justice Burke ever swung a case to benefit her husband's clients. But the Burke's unique situation is raising concerns from some legal experts.
No one thing strikes me as a smoking gun that leads you to say, aha, here's the wrongdoing.
Charles Gardner Jay teaches law at Indiana University, and he's a national expert on judicial ethics.
but collectively, something smells a bit fishy.
There's nothing in the public record to explain why Ann Burke did or did not participate in certain cases involving her husband's clients. But it's clear Justice Burke is no stranger to recusing herself. Of the more than 900 cases WBEZ analyzed, she chose not to participate in 45 of them. That's more than double any other justice. A court spokesman attributes some of those recusals to cases that came through a state appeals court she served on. The Supreme Court does have rules about recusal, but there's room for interpretation. They say a justice must step away from a case if their spouse has an economic interest in a party before the court. Judges must also make a, quote, reasonable effort to keep informed about the personal economic interest of the judge's spouse.
I don't think Justice Burke would be required to disqualify herself in cases where Clafter and Burke represent a client in an unrelated matter.
That's Northwestern University law professor Stephen Lubet. He says Ed Burke's law firm did not have a financial interest in ComEd's case before the Supreme Court, and so
there would be no reason to think that a justice would be other than impartial because her husband's law firm is involved in some unrelated litigation.
But the top ethics watchdog for the city of Chicago says it might be time to revisit what he regards as vague judicial ethics rules. Chicago Inspector General Joe Ferguson wouldn't comment on Ann Burke's conduct specifically, but he compares the existing self-policing recusal system to a windowless room where the public can't see in.
The institution as a whole really has to question whether or not their standards and transparency are sufficient to overcome the questions that almost inevitably are going to arise in a situation like this.
Ferguson says Illinois' court system is inherently political, so he questions how smart it is to have lax rules that give judges like Ann Burke little explicit guidance about what constitutes a conflict. And Ferguson says he can understand why someone like Deborah Sloan and her husband would feel like they didn't get a fair hearing at the Supreme Court.
It's not surprising at all. That's where we are, unfortunately, as a society. And that's what our standards should be responsive to right now.
If those court rules governing transparency are ever going to get a serious overhaul, the final sign-off could only come from one place: Ann Burke and the Illinois Supreme Court's six other justices. This is Dave McKinney.
Thank you.